Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. The theme for the month of November is the second annual 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. These are thoughts and contemplations to help you begin finding your own North Arrow as you navigate what could only be described as a chaotic 2020. If you want to go deeper than just the audio experience, you can also head to rickalexander.com and find the show notes as well as journaling prompts. Also, that will be linked up in the show notes of this episode. I also did a short show on how to journal if you're new to it and want to check that out as well. It'll be included on the 21 Maxims page of the website. And of course, if you do get anything at all out of these, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and just share the show with anyone you think could benefit from the message. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Welcome back to Maxim number 4, the mind's job is to follow the heart. I have to begin today's show with 2 disclaimers so that we don't get the message twisted, because we live in a world full of people who have become really good at denying what their heart wants, and they've convinced themselves that that somehow makes them rational. But rational thought is actually based on reason and logic, and to understand that, you really have to understand the laws of inference or the 9 rules of logic. To think that having the ability to live completely in your head and to cut yourself off from your natural desires is logical is just one more sign of a disconnected culture that does not understand themselves. And so the goal of today is not to deny reason. And so when we say the mind's job is to follow the heart, and no way are we talking about denying reason in that. And I'll get into it as we get into this episode about what that means. Second disclaimer, we should also untangle the idea of listening to and following our heart from living emotionally. Living emotionally is not what I'm referring to when I talk about following the heart. Emotion is blinding and misleading. It's quite literally energy that is trying to work its way through our bodies. Now, here's the tricky part. Emotion cannot be denied, but that does not mean it should be what we follow either. Emotion must be felt. Otherwise, it gets bound up inside of us and actually keeps us from accessing the heart space. Emotion is what happens when feeling creatures find themselves contending with time and space. For a lot of us in Western culture, we're taught to either prioritize our emotions or, like I said before, deny our emotions completely. For others, we find our emotions lead us every which way but home. Again, they're a byproduct from existing in the world, and this means that we cannot deny them. But again, they're not what I'm talking about following when I'm talking about following the heart. So we're feeling creatures. In the West, we really parade the idea of just being machines. The loudest voices are the ones who can shut off their brain and just go achieve. That mode of moving through the world is often based on fear when you really get down to it, which is ironic because we tend to look at people who successfully live in this way as heroes. But I don't know how else to put it other than there's nothing heroic about being afraid to sit with your own inner world and process what you actually feel. Also, this is not an affront to discipline. We definitely need to be disciplined to be successful in the world. There's a level of everything that we need. There's a level of discipline for sure. But without balance, without the ability to feel what we actually feel and feel what we're going through, as we talked a little bit about yesterday, we're setting ourselves up to fall. You can't hate yourself into success forever. You can't run from what you feel forever. I mean, you can, but you seriously risk living an unfulfilled life. Finish lines, hustle, and accolades can't replace our very basic human needs of love and connection. And I apologize if you find that fact inconvenient, but here we are. Also, I should say, I'm a very cerebral person, and that's not to say that I'm smart, but I just definitely love to overthink everything. And we have to recognize, because I think a lot of people in our culture would tend to consider themselves cerebral, that even though we prize intelligent thought, we cannot think our way out of all of our problems, because again, we are feeling thinking and acting creatures. So we have to reflect, come up with a plan, but then at some point we do have to live our plan out in the world to know whether or not it has any chance of being successful. And oftentimes when we get in these loops, and our mind is sort of spiraling around the same sets of problems, what we actually have to do is just go get into the world. Like, we actually have to get into our bodies and live in the world. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. So for those of us that are more naturally dispositioned to be cerebral, our biggest trap is in getting caught in a purely intellectual world where we think forever about what we want but have no idea what reality would look like if we actually acted out what we're thinking about. There's a really great commencement speech by David Foster Wallace, and I didn't start this episode off with a quote on purpose because I wanted to put the quote in the middle. So I'm going to read an excerpt from his commencement speech. He said, "Think of the old cliche about the mind being an excellent servant, but a terrible master. This, like many cliches, so lame and unexciting on the surface, actually expresses a great and terrible truth. It's not the least bit coincidental that adults who commit suicide with firearms almost always shoot themselves in the head. They shoot the terrible master. And the truth is that most of these suicides are actually dead long before they pull the trigger. And I submit that this is what the real, no bullshit value of your liberal arts education is supposed to be about. How to keep from going through your comfortable, prosperous, respectable adult life dead, unconscious, a slave to your head, and to your natural default setting of being uniquely, completely imperial alone, day in and day out." Now, that might sound harsh, fair enough, but this is the world that we live in, and we have to make very real decisions about what to do with our time. And the wrong decisions create apathy. Following the wrong master leads to destruction. And if you don't believe me, take a look into the eyes of someone who punches the clock day in and day out for 20 years without ever connecting to the depth of who they are. And this is why I'm talking about the mind actually serving the heart, because, see, our mind gives us the tools we need to succeed. It tells us how to deduce a plausible path. It assists us in finding a strategy. It allows us to run through scenarios before we live them out, to hypothesize whether or not they will actually be helpful. But it is the heart that knows which path you should be on. And once you finally feel what you are avoiding, then you'll be free to find that space in the center of who you are. See, because I'm not making a case for emotions to lead the way, as I said at the beginning of this episode. I think a lot of people live with their heart kind of on their sleeves, and that's not necessarily what I'm talking about, because you do have to feel all the things that you actually feel in order to get through them and to allow those emotions to pass through you. But if you don't do that, then you won't be able to sink into that heart space. And that's what I'm talking about. And when I say heart, it might be helpful to clarify that we're not referring to, you know, the organ itself. We're not referring to, as I said, emotions on your sleeve. In the Hebrew wisdom traditions, the heart was thought of as the decision-making point in the body. It was informed by, get this, reason, intellect, emotions, and desires. As in, it was the totality of those four things, reason, intellect, emotions, and desires. Now, there's a lot of parts in the Bible and other wisdom texts that talk about living with heart and sort of offering your heart up. And they're talking about living with the totality of who you are, as in not just the head, not just the mind. And so, but it doesn't exclude those things either, you see. It's not just emotions, but it doesn't exclude those things either. And so what does that tell us, or how does that help us? Well, first of all, you're not a brain on a stick, for starters, and you're a machine that can't be directed where to go. You also aren't so free to be whatever you want to be in this life in some broad sense. I mean, like I said, you can try. You can shove yourself into a box you don't fit in for years on end if you want. And I'll say something else about that, which is like, what I'm saying here when I say you're not free to be whatever you want, again, like, you are. You can do it in a hypothetical sense. But like, if I were to go decide that I was going to be an accountant for the rest of my life, like, am I free to make that decision? Sure. Would it kill every single part of me because my psychology isn't set up to be that person? My heart wouldn't be in it? That's what I'm talking about. It's not that you can't do it. It's that we have a lot of problems in the world today, and a lot of them in the human condition start in the fact that we are stifling who we are. We don't understand the totality of who we are. We're trying to block parts of ourselves off. Some of us are trying to live completely out of our heads. Some of us are trying to live completely out of our emotions. But we're full human beings. You can deny the emotion part. You can deny the reason part. You really can. But where will it get you? Somewhere along the lines, you'll still be left with who you are. You'll still be this breathing, loving, feeling, emoting monkey with a prefrontal cortex. And at the center of who you are, there is the desire to be someone extraordinary. Now, not in the Western context where we measure greatness in comparison to others. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, for you, you're here to be someone. And regardless of how you've learned to live in the world, you'll find your life is always calling you back to the center, asking you to live with all of who you are. And actually, that starts getting into tomorrow's Maxim, so I'm going to cut it off there. I love you guys, and we'll chat tomorrow with Maxim number 5.